This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our weekly halaqah, reading the tafsir of Imam Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala and giving some short commentary on it. So I'll start reading in Arabic and we'll wait for Brother Rayyan to join us. Inshallah, and he will read the English. So I might go ahead a little bit ahead in the Arabic language, in the Arabic text. So oh, here's Rayyan. Okay, cool. So today is Surah Al-Insan, or Surah Al-Dahr, Surah Al-Insan, and Surah Al-Dahr also called. It's a little bit of a long commentary or tafsir that Imam Sa'di gives, so I'm not sure if we will be able to cover it all today. خير إن شاء الله. قال الإمام عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة هل أتى على الإنسان وهي مكية. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. ذكر الله في هذه السورة الكريمة أول حالة الإنسان ومبتدأها ومتوسطها ومنتهاها، فذكر أنه مر عليه دهر طويل وهو الذي قبل وجوده، بل وهو معدوم بل ليس مذكورا. ثم أراد الله تعالى خلقه ثم لما أراد الله تعالى خلقه خلق أباه آدم من طين، ثم جعل نسله متسلسلا من نطفة أمشاج، أي ماء مهين مستقذر، نبتليه بذلك لنعلم هل يرى حاله الأولى ويتفطن لها أم ينساها وتغره نفسه. فأنشأه الله وخلق له القوى الباطنة والظاهرة كالسمع والبصر وسائر الأعضاء، فأتمها له وجعلها سالمة يتمكن بها من تحصيل مقاصده. ثم أرسل إليه الرسل وأنزل عليه الكتب وهداه الطريق الموصلة إلى الله ورغبه فيها وأخبره بما له عند الوصول إلى الله، ثم أخبره بالطريق الموصلة إلى الهلاك ورحبه منها وأخبره بما له إذا سلكها وابتلاه بذلك. فانقسم الناس إلى شاكر لنعمة الله عليه قائم بما حمله الله من حقوقه، وإلى كفور لنعمة الله عليه أنعم الله عليه بالنعم الدينية والدنيوية فردها وكفر بربه وسلك الطريق الموصلة إلى الهلاك. ثم ذكر تعالى حال الفريقين عند الجزاء.
سورة إنسان. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In this surah, Allah tells us of the beginning, middle, and end of man's existence. It tells us that a long time has passed before man existed, when he was nothing and was not even mentioned. Then, when it was Allah's will to create man, he created his father, Adam, from clay. Then he made his offspring from a drop of mingled fluid. That is, an insignificant fluid that is regarded as off-putting. In order to test him thereby, to see whether he would pay attention to how he was in his initial state, or he would forget it and become arrogant. Then Allah caused him to develop and created for him hidden and visible faculties, such as hearing, sight, and all other faculties that he perfected for him and made them sound, so that man could attain thereby that which is beneficial for him. Then he sent the messengers to him and sent down the books and guided him to the path that leads to him. He explained it and urged man to follow it and told him of what he would have when he reaches Allah. Then he told him of the path that leads to doom, warned him against it, and told him of what would happen to him if he followed it, and he tested him thereby. So people are divided into two categories. those who are grateful for the blessings that Allah bestows upon them and do the duties that Allah has enjoined upon them, and those who are ungrateful for the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon them, both spiritual and worldly. So they reject them, disbelieve in their Lord, and follow the path that leads to doom. Then Allah describes the two groups at the time of requital as He says.
Okay, so this is the first part of the surah, and we can easily divide the surah into three parts. This first part, which is an introduction, and this is more of a history, more of the history of the existence of humanity. And this is a history that humans cannot arrive at by themselves, because that was even before their creation. This is about the reason why they were brought into this world, or the era of existence before even humans were mentioned, even before there was anything about humans. There was nothing called humans, there was no mention of humans, but obviously they were always in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose knowledge is infinite. So then humanity came into being. And that's the phase of human life that we are all in now. We all live here, we are experiencing life, the test of life. So there was a phase before humanity. Then there is a phase during the life of humanity. Then there will be a phase after the death of humanity. These are the first the three phases that really capture and encapsulate human existence. And all of them are mentioned here. Allah says, was there a time when humans were not even a subject to be mentioned, talked about? Before Allah had the conversation with the angels, there was nothing called humans. There was no mention of humans. No one knew anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was existence, and there were creatures, and there was life going on, but humans were not part of it. Allah tells us how we came about. And that's profound. Subhanallah, this is profound. Because again, humans, you know, a main part of who we are, which is our identity, is our history. There was a time when you were not here. There was a time where you were not even a notion, when you were not an idea, when there was no mention of you, and life was still going full blast. There were things happening, creatures being born into existence, creatures dying out of existence, creatures having life in all of its ups and downs. There was life before you. At some stage, humanity came into existence. And that's a reminder not to take yourself for granted and to realize that you were brought into existence. And all of the mess and the confusion that humans put themselves in, trying to cancel God and the idea of God, and then they come up with pseudoscience that they claim that they can read what happened millions ago by studying, you know, emissions and radiations and carbon atoms and things like that. And they tell you, you know, 10 million years ago, this and that happened. And they speak about that confidently. And this is all based on some theory as to what this actually means. And the problem is when, again, humans buy into this and take it as solid science, not realizing this is actually theory. And maybe if science actually develops, all of this will be debunked. And it's very likely. Science has always been canceling itself. And if you remember, if anyone has, you know, has been around enough, a lot of what was solid scientific advice now is completely considered to be harmful, like with nutrition, for example. There are things that were engraved in stone when it comes to health, like the food nutrition pyramid. All of scientific research shows that the scientific pyramid was actually a scam. Actually brings about more health problems than it brings health and well-being. Most of the scientific research now is actually geared towards this and showing that, you know, what was called at some point science, hard science, was actually speculation. So don't forget this as you're dealing with these issues. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the truth, that there was a time when you were not even mentioned.
And these are the people who again try to tell you how humans came into existence. And they fight for it as if it's science. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that we created man. Inna khalaqna al-insan. We created man. Allah created Adam with his own hands. Then how did the generations, subsequent generations came about? Min nutfatin amshajin nabtalih. From a despicable liquid. Semen. That's such a disgusting substance, right? That's your beginning. Why? Imam al-Sa'di mentions, to test humans. To test humans that if you were to think that you are something, if you were to really take yourself too seriously and develop a big ego, this is where you came from. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ. So this is the life phase. So there was the non-existence phase. Now there came the existence phase, the life phase. Then what happens after this? The reward and punishment phase. Allah says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We have guided man. Either we opened the guidance for them. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We opened the two paths to you. Either the path of guidance or the path of misguidance. The path that leads to paradise and Allah's pleasure, or the path that leads to the hellfire and Allah's punishment. You choose. Because the end of the surah, look at it, starts with the two paths. At the end of the surah, Allah says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَيَّسْتَقِيمُ. For those of you who choose to take the straight path. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't think that you can choose independently. Still, you're given the power of choice, but this happens within what? It's under the command of Allah. You can only choose when Allah allows. You can't even choose independently. You think you have an independent existence or you have an independent choice. No. You have choice by virtue of Allah's blessings and grace. So even when you see that you have choice, don't even claim it to yourself. Don't claim that you have the power of choice or you have developed the power of choice. This is something Allah gave to you so that you are tested. And this again answers the question that usually we said is asked, do humans have free will or not? And we addressed that a few times, but this is just a reminder that the question without context is meaningless. You don't have free will with everything. You don't have free will with everything. You have free will to the extent that enables you to function properly in the test that Allah placed you in. That's where you have choice. You have choice to ultimately choose the path that leads to Allah or the path that leads to the hellfire. That's where you have choice. There are things you don't have choice with. You never chose the color of your skin. You never chose the place of your birth. So do you have free will there? You don't. There are personal traits about you you don't have choice about. They were built in you. You don't have, you know, free will there. So it's important to understand free will does not function in a vacuum. It functions within a purpose. Allah gave us, let's say, a circle of free will which is designed to help us go through the test. That's where free will or choice becomes meaningful. Otherwise, to say, you know, humans argue philosophically, and we mentioned how philosophers are confused about this. And if you really were to read, you know, the different views, you would just get more confused. Because this is a question that cannot be asked without a context. It's only meaningful with a purpose. Okay. So these are the three phases, and this is the beginning of the surah, the first part of the surah. The second part of the surah goes on to mention the end of those who disbelieve. Then in detail, it mentions what happens to the believers. And subhanAllah, this surah, at least in my opinion, brings one of the most beautiful description of the state of the people of paradise. One of the most touching descriptions of the state, the experience of the people of paradise. And then the third part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how people respond to it. So this sort of puts the surah in three segments. The introduction about the existence of humans before, during their existence, and then after their death. And then there are people who go to the hellfire, very short description, then elaborate description on the people of paradise. And eventually just concluding with the message of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and how people respond to it. So we move on to the next second section. Yes, which is from verse 4 to verse 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا. I might provide minimal commentary on this section because I want you just to, if you understand Arabic, you can taste Arabic, listen carefully to the verses. If not, focus on the English translation. Hopefully it would give you a good description. So pay attention, please. That would be the most part. So I would keep my commentary minimal, inshallah. We'll go through all of this section, which is the most, you know, biggest part of the surah. إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الثَّوَابِ أَيْ حَيَّأْنَا وَأَرْصَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ رُسُلَهُ وَتَجَرَّأَ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي سَلَاسِلْ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ كما قال تعالى ثم في سلسلة ذرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوه وأغلالا تغل بها أيديهم إلى أعناقهم ويوثقون بها وسعيرا أي نارا تستعر بها أجسامهم وتحرق بها أبدانهم كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب وهذا العذاب دائم لهم أبدا مخلدون فيه سرمدا وأما الأبرار وهم الذين برت قلوبهم بما فيها من محبة الله. You know, let's read the English before we go on to that.
That is, we have prepared and made ready for those who disbelieve in Allah, reject His messengers, and dare to commit sin, chains in the fire of hell. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, then bind him in a chain the length of which is 70 cubits. Iron collars, by means of which their hands are fastened to their necks. And a raging fire, that is, it will increase in flames fueled by their bodies. As often as their skins are burnt through, we will replace them with fresh skins, so that they may continue to taste the punishment. This punishment is ongoing and eternal. They will abide therein forever.
وَأَمَّا الْأَبْرَارُ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ بَرَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِمَا فِيهَا مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ والأخلاق الجميلة فبرت جوارحهم واستعملوها بأعمال البر أخبر أنهم يشربون من كأس أي شراب لذيذ من خمر قد مزج بكافور أي خلط بكافور ليبرده ويكسر حدته وهذا الكافور في غاية اللذة قد سلم من كل مكدر ومنغص موجود في كافور الدنيا فإن الآفة الموجودة في الأسماء التي ذكر الله أنها في الجنة وهي في الدنيا تعدم في الآخرة كما قال تعالى في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وأزواج مطهرة لهم دار السلام عند ربهم وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين عينا يشرب بها عباد الله أي ذلك الكأس اللذيذ الذي يشربون به لا يخافون نفاده بل له مادة لا تنقطع وهي عين دائمة الفيضان والجريان يفجرها عباد الله تفجيرا أنا شاءوا وكيف أرادوا فإن شاءوا صرفوها إلى البساتين الزاهرات أو إلى الرياض الناضرات أو بين جوانب القصور والمساكن المزخرفات أو إلى أي جهة يرونها من الجهات المونقات وقد ذكر جملة من أعمالهم في أول هذه السورة فقال يوفون بالنذر أي بما ألزموا به أنفسهم لله من النذور والمعاهدات وإذا كانوا يوفون بالنذر وهو لم يجب عليهم إلا بإيجابهم على أنفسهم كان فعلهم وقيامهم بالفروض الأصلية من باب أولى وأحرى ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا أي منتشرا فاشيا فخافوا أن ينالهم شره فتركوا كل سبب موجب لذلك ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكين على حبه أي وهم في حال يحبون فيها المال والطعام لكنهم قدموا محبة الله على محبة نفوسهم ويتحرون في إطعامهم أولى الناس وأحوجهم مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا ويقصدون بإنفاقهم وإطعامهم وجه الله تعالى ويقولون بلسان الحال إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا أي لا جزاء ماليا ولا ثناء قوليا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا أي شديد الجهمة والشر قمطريرا أي ضنكا ضيقا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم فلا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر وتتلقاهم الملائكة هذا يومكم الذي كنتم توعدون.
As for the righteous, who are the ones whose hearts are pure because of what they contain of love of Allah and knowledge of Him, and because of their good manners, and because of their having purified themselves physically by using their faculties in doing righteous deeds, Allah tells us that they will drink from a cup of wine, that is, a delicious drink of wine mixed with camphor, to cool it down and reduce the sharpness of its taste. This camphor will be extremely delicious, free of any contamination and unpalatability, and as is the case with the camphor of this world, because whatever Allah tells us of that which is in paradise of things that have earthly counterparts, they will be free of any of the problematic elements that they have in this world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere, they will be amidst thornless lote trees and banana trees laden with fruit, with pure spouses, for them will be an abode of peace with their Lord. There will be therein all that souls may desire and all that eyes may delight in, drawn from a spring from which the slaves of Allah will drink. That is, they will have no fear about that delicious cup from which they will drink ever running out, for it has a source that will never end. It comes from a spring that flows constantly, and the slaves of Allah will make it flow wherever and however they wish. If they wish, they will be able to direct it towards the beautiful gardens full of blossoms, or make it run between the palaces and adorned dwellings, or in any direction they want. Here Allah tells us about some of their deeds. They fulfill their vows, that is, they fulfill what they commit themselves to for the sake of Allah. If they fulfill vows which are not obligatory upon them, unless they take that upon themselves, it is more likely that they will fulfill their commitment to basic obligatory duties, and fear a day the evil of which will be widespread. That is, it will spread and reach everywhere, so they fear that its evil may reach them, therefore they avoid everything that may lead to it. And they give food despite their love for it, that is, although they love wealth and food, they give precedence to love of Allah over love of themselves, and they try to give their food to those who are most deserving and most in need of it, the needy, orphans, and captives. By spending and feeding the others, they seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implicitly saying, "We feed you only for the sake of Allah. We seek of you neither recompense nor thanks." That is, we seek neither financial recompense nor verbal praise. Verily, we fear from our Lord a grim, that is, very hard and evil and awful, that is, stressful and miserable day. Therefore, Allah will protect them from the evil of that day, so the greatest terror will not grieve them, and the angels will welcome them, saying, "This is your day that you were promised."
Okay, so here Allah explains in detail what they are going to get in paradise. And again, the emphasis is on the state, on the experience. And something here about the Arabic. So Imam al-Sa'di, may Allah have mercy on him, he really, you can feel he is like in such a beautiful state as he speaks. The language is so poetic, like his explanation is so poetic and different from what we have read so far. He's actually enjoying himself just commenting on this. In a sense, he was high as he was, again, with good means, when he was actually, subhanAllah, writing this. He was in such in his element when he was writing this. You could sense that in the language. So sweet. He says, وَلَقَّاهُمْ أَيْ أَكْرَمَهُمْ وَأَعْطَاهُمْ نَضْرَةً فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ وَسُرُورًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَجَمَعَ لَهُمْ بَيْنَ نَعِيمِ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَعَمِلُوا مَا أَمْكَنَهُمْ مِنْهَا وَعَنْ مَعَاصِ اللَّهِ فَتَرَكُوهَا وَعَلَى أَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْلِمَةِ فَلَمْ يَتَسَخَّطُوهَا جَنَّةً جَامِعَةً لِكُلِّ نَعِيمٍ سَالِمَةً مِنْ كُلِّ مُكَدِّرٍ وَمُنَغِّصٍ وَحَرِيرًا كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّمَا خَصَّ الْحَرِيرَ لِأَنَّهُ لِبَاسُهُمُ الظَّاهِرُ الدَّالُّ عَلَى حَالِ صَاحِبِهِ
متكئين فيها على الأرائك الاتكاء التمكن من الجلوس في حال الرفاهية والطمأنينة والأرائك هي السرر التي عليها اللباس المزين متكئين فيها على الأرائك الاتكاء التمكن من الجلوس في حال الرفاهية والطمأنينة والأرائك هي السرر التي عليها اللباس المزين لا يرون فيها أي في الجنة شمسا يضرهم حرها ولا زمهريرا أي بردا شديدا بل جميع أوقاتهم في ظل ظليل لا حر ولا برد بحيث تلتذ به الأجساد ولا تتألم من حر ولا برد ودانية عليهم ظلالها وذللت قطوفها تذليلا أي قربت ثمراتها من مريدها تقريبا ينالها وهو قائم أو قاعد أو مضجع ويطاف على أهل الجنة أن يدور عليهم الخدم والولدان بآنية من فضة وأكواب كانت قواريرا قوارير من فضة أي مادتها من فضة وهي على صفاء القوارير وهذا من أعجب الأشياء أن تكون الفضة الكثيفة من صفاء جوهرها وطيب معدنها على صفاء القوارير قدروها تقديرا أي قدروا الأواني المذكورة على قدر ريهم لا تزيد ولا تنقص لأنها لو زادت نقصت لذتها ولو نقصت لم تفي بريهم ويحتمل أن المراد قدرها أهل الجنة بنفوسهم بمقدار يوافق لذتهم فأتتهم على ما قدروا في خواطرهم ويسقون فيها أي في الجنة من كأس وهو الإناء المملوء من خمر ورحيق كان مزاجها أي خلطها زنجبيلا لطيب طعمه وريحه عينا فيها أي في الجنة تسمى سلسبيلا سميت بذلك لسلاستها ولذتها وحسنها ويطوف على أهل الجنة في طعامهم وشرابهم وخدمتهم ولدان مخلدون أي خلقوا من الجنة للبقاء لا يتغيرون ولا يكبرون وهم في غاية الحسن إذا رأيتهم منتشرين في خدمتهم حسبتهم من حسنهم لؤلؤا منثورا وهذا من تمام لذة أهل الجنة أن يكون خدامهم الولدان المخلدون الذين تسر رؤيتهم ويدخلون على مساكنهم آمنين من تبعتهم ويأتونهم بما يدعون وتطلبه نفوسهم وإذا رأيت ثم رأيت أي هناك في الجنة ورمقت ما هم فيه من النعيم رأيت نعيما وملكا كبيرا فتجد الواحد منهم عنده من القصور والمساكن والغرف المزينة المزخرفة ما لا يدركه الوصف ولديه من البساتين الزاهرة والثمار الدانية والفواكه اللذيذة والأنهار الجارية والرياض المعجبة والطيور المطربة المشجية ما يأخذ بالقلوب ويفرح النفوس وعنده من الزوجات اللاتي هن في غاية الحسن والإحسان الجامعات لجمال الظاهر والباطن الخيرات الحسان ما يملأ القلب سرورا ولذة وحبورا وحوله من الولدان المخلدين والخدم المؤبدين ما به تحصل الراحة والطمأنينة وتتم لذة العيش وتكمل الغبطة ثم علاوة ذلك ومعظمه الفوز برؤية الرب الرحيم وسماع خطابه ولذة قربه والابتهاج برضاه والخلود الدائم وتزايد ما هم فيه من النعيم كل وقت وحين فسبحان الملك المالك الحق المبين الذي لا تنفد خزائنه ولا يقل خيره فكما لا نهاية لأوصافه فلا نهاية لبره وإحسانه
and will bestow upon them, that is, he will honor them and give them radiance in their faces and joy in their hearts, thus combining both outward and inward bliss, and will reward them for their patience and steadfastness in obeying Allah, for they strove as much as they could in avoiding disobedience towards Allah, so they refrained from sin, and in accepting the painful decrees of Allah, so they did not complain about them. With paradise that contains all bliss and is free of all troubles and problems, and garments of silk, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, and their garments therein will be of silk. Perhaps Allah singled out silk for mention because their outward dress will be indicative of the condition of the wearer, wherein they will recline on couches. Reclining means sitting comfortably, with ease and in a relaxed manner. The word translated here as couches refers to couches covered with adorned cloths. They will feel in paradise neither scorching heat that would cause them harm nor bitter cold. At all times they will be in shade with no heat or cold, so that they may feel physical enjoyment with no pain or discomfort caused by heat or cold. That is, its fruits will be near at hand for anyone who wants them, so that he may take them whether he is standing, sitting, or lying on his side. There will be passed around among the people of paradise by their servants vessels of silver and goblets of crystal, crystal clear, made of silver. That is, they will be made of silver, but they will be as clear as crystal. This is something most amazing, but something as dense and opaque as silver will be as clear as crystal because it is so pure, filled to exact measure. They will be filled to the exact measure as desired by the people of paradise, the amount that will be most pleasing to them, so it will come to them exactly as they thought of in their minds. Therein, in paradise, they will be given to drink a cup of wine and nectar, mixed with ginger to make its taste and scent good, drawn from a spring therein in paradise, called Salsabil. It is called this because it is palatable, delicious, and wholesome. Immortal servant boys who are created in paradise to remain therein, they will never change or grow old, and they are very handsome, will circulate among them, that is, among the people of paradise, with their food and drink to serve them. If you saw them spreading out to serve the people, you would think, because of their beauty, that they were scattered pearls. This is part of the pleasure of the people of paradise, that their servants will be immortal boys who are a pleasure to look at. They will enter their houses in complete safety and will bring whatever they ask for and want. And if you were to look their paradise and you observe the bliss in which they live, you would see bliss and a vast domain. You would see that one of them possesses palaces, dwellings, and chambers that are adorned and decorated in a manner that can barely be described. He will have blooming gardens, delicious fruits hanging within easy reach, flowing rivers, amazing gardens, and birds that sing in an enchanting manner, such as moves the heart and brings joy to the soul. He will have wives who are extremely beautiful and kind, combining inner and outer beauty, such as fills the heart with joy and brings great pleasure and delight. Around him will be immortal boys and eternal servants, bringing ease and comfort. Thus they will enjoy a life of complete pleasure and perfect joy. Over and above all that will be the greatest joy of seeing the Most Merciful Lord, hearing his words, delighting in closeness to him, and rejoicing in attaining his pleasure and eternal life that constantly increases in bliss at every moment. Glory be to the Sovereign Lord, the Clear Truth, whose stores never run out and whose generosity never decreases. Just as there is no end to his attributes, there is no end to his kindness and generosity.
قال عاليهم ثياب سندس خضر أي قد جللتهم ثياب السندس والاستبرق الأخضران اللذان هما أجل أنواع الحرير فالسندس ما غلظ من الديباج والاستبرق ما رق منه وحلوا أساور من فضة أي حلوا في أيديهم أساور فضة ذكورهم وإناثهم وهذا وعد وعدهم الله وكان وعده مفعولا لأنه لا أصدق منه قيلا ولا حديثا وقوله وسقاهم ربهم شرابا طهورا أي لا كدر فيه بوجه من الوجوه مطهرا لما في بطونهم من كل أذى وقذى إن هذا الجزاء الجزيل والعطاء الجميل كان لكم جزاء أي على ما أسلفتموه من الأعمال وكان سعيكم أي القليل منه يجعل الله لكم به من النعيم المقيم ما لا يمكن حصره وقوله تعالى لما ذكر نعيم الجنة إنا نحن نزلنا عليك القرآن تنزيلا فيه الوعد والوعيد وبيان كل ما يحتاجه العباد وفيه الأمر بالقيام. Okay, so we're going to stop here.
They will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade. That is, they will be covered in green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade, which are the finest types of silk, and will be adorned with bracelets of silver. That is, they will wear bracelets of silver on their arms, both males and females. This is a promise that Allah has made to them, and His promise will come to pass, because no one is truer in speech or in word than Him. And their Lord will give them to drink a pure beverage, that is, one in which there will be no impurity or contamination. It will cleanse their hearts of all hurt and pain. It will be said to them, "This is your reward," that is, this great reward and beautiful gift is yours, for what you have sent on ahead of good deeds. For your endeavors are appreciated, that is, for a little effort Allah has granted you eternal bliss that cannot be enumerated. Verily, having mentioned the bliss of paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, "Verily, it is we who have sent down the Quran to you a piecemeal, which contains a promise and a warning and an explanation of all that people need to know."
Okay, so this is the end of section number 2, where we said Allah starts with mentioning a short description of the people of the hellfire, where they're going to end up, and then a long description of the people of paradise, what they used to do, their sense of selflessness and generosity, and then their devotion and truthfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then all of these pleasures that Allah explains. And again, it's such a beautiful description, because it doesn't only mention, you know, the blessings that Allah will give them on the Day of Judgment, but it also mentions their state. For example, Allah says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. And if you look, what you're going to see is profound dominion and bliss. So there's something about them. And Allah talks about, for example, where is it? وَلَقَّاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا. نَضْرَة, نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا. نَضْرَة, again, is the brightness of the face. You know, when someone lives in ideal conditions, and they eat wholesome foods, their skin radiates so much clarity, beauty, health. You can see it on their complexion, on their skin, in their eyes. That's nadra. Nadra. Okay? So, which is again also in the Arabic language, nadra or nadaratan. Nadara. When something is fresh, again, and wholesome, it's called nadara. وَسُرُورًا, and again it's the joy of the heart, being so content and satisfied and fulfilled. This is the state of the heart. So Allah talks about not only what they're going to receive in Jannah, but also their state, the state that they will be in. And the rapid mention of the different descriptions and the different things about their dress, about their lifestyle, about what they're going to drink, about what they will eat, about the ease of life, to the point that, again, they can actually channel the rivers in paradise according to what they please. The branches of trees that have the most beautiful and most delicious type of fruits are hanging at their reach, exactly the ideal reach. The kind of drink that they will drink is قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا. They actually, the drink matches exactly their best, the highest point of pleasure for them. And it matches their expectations exactly. The amount of the drink that is poured in a cup that they drink from is exactly what gives them the maximum amount of joy from that drink. So, like, it's something, again, beyond description. Everything is just more than perfect in paradise. So, and again, the wine that is mentioned there, again, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that it does not intoxicate. And there's a lot of confusion when people will think in paradise, you know, what's haram in Jannah will be, well, what's haram here will become halal in paradise. No. No. The things that are haram, in general, that's a general rule. The things that are haram, so there are rulings for this life and rulings in Jannah. Things that Allah made haram for themselves, for their own evil, their own evil nature, do not become halal. And anyone is, someone says, "Oh, but you know, alcohol is halal." It's not alcohol. It's called khamr. It's a drink, but it does not intoxicate. Because intoxication, which is loss of your consciousness and your mind and your presence, you know, is not a good thing. So Allah preserved the people in paradise from that. And even the marriage in Jannah, Allah says, أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَ أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَ purified spouses. The most purified physically, spiritually, psychologically purified in all sense. Sometimes people ask some silly questions. They say, if I feel like punching someone in paradise, will I still get that wish? Well, people in paradise will not enter paradise until they are purified of all evil intentions. So people in paradise, it would not cross their minds to do something like that. Okay, someone says, oh, if I love, like some people have an attachment to something that is prohibited, they would say, you know, I would abstain from it in this life, but Allah gives it to me in Jannah. You know what? Allah will purify you before you enter Jannah that you will not desire despicable things. So that's good to keep in mind. So this is the second section. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the final section of the surah, Allah talks about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mission, and some advice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a description of how humans respond. So let's carry on with it. And again, minimal commentary, inshallah. قال وقوله تعالى لما ذكر نعيم الجنة إنا نحن نزلنا عليك القرآن تنزيلا فيه الوعد والوعيد وبيان كل ما يحتاجه العباد وفيه الأمر بالقيام بأوامره وشرائعه أتم القيام والسعي في تنفيذها والصبر على ذلك ولهذا قال فاصبر لحكم ربك ولا تطع منهم آثما أو كفورا أي اصبر لحكمه القدري فلا تسخطه ولحكمه الديني فامض عليه ولا يعوقك عنه عائق ولا تطع من المعاندين الذين يريدون أن يصدوك آثما أي فاعلا إثما ومعصية ولا كفورا فإن طاعة الكفار والفجار والفساق لا بد أن تكون في المعاصي فلا يأمرون إلا بما تهواه أنفسهم ولما كان الصبر يساعده القيام بعبادة الله والإكثار من ذكره أمره الله بذلك فقال واذكر اسم ربك بكرة وأصيلا أي أول النهار وآخره فدخل في ذلك الصلوات المكتوبات وما يتبعها من النوافل والذكر والتسبيح والتهليل والتكبير في هذه الأوقات ومن الليل فاسجد له أي أكثر له من السجود ولا يكون ذلك إلا بالإكثار من الصلاة وسبحه ليلا طويلا وقد تقدم تقييد هذا المطلق بقوله يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا الآية وقوله إن هؤلاء أي المكذبين لك أيها الرسول بعدما بينت لهم الآيات ورغبوا ومع ذلك لم يفد فيهم ذلك شيئا بل لا يزالون يؤثرون العاجلة يطمئنون إليها ويذرون أن يتركون العمل ويهملون وراءهم أي أمامهم يوما ثقيلا وهو يوم القيامة الذي مقداره 50,000 سنة مما تعدون وقال تعالى يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسر فكأنهم ما خلقوا إلا للدنيا والإقامة فيها ثم استدل عليهم وعلى بعثهم بدليل عقلي وهو دليل الابتداء فقال نحن خلقناهم أي أوجدناهم من العدم وشددنا أسرهم أي أحكمنا خلقتهم بالأعصاب والعروق والأوتار والقوى الظاهرة والباطنة حتى تم الجسم واستكمل وتمكن من كل ما يريده فالذي أوجدهم على هذه الحالة قادر على أن يعيدهم بعد موتهم لجزائهم والذي نقلهم في هذه الدار إلى هذه الأطوار لا يليق به أن يتركهم سدى لا يؤمرون ولا ينهون ولا يثابون ولا يعاقبون ولهذا قال بدلنا أمثالهم تبديلا أي أنشأناكم للبعث نشأة أخرى وأعدناكم بأعيانكم وهم بأنفسهم أمثالهم إن هذه تذكرة أي يتذكر بها المؤمن فينتفع بما فيها من التخويف والترغيب فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا أي طريقا موصلا إليه فالله يبين الحق والهدى ثم يخير الناس بين الاهتداء بها أو النفور عنها مع قيام الحجة عليهم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله فإن مشيئة الله نافذة إن الله كان عليما حكيما فله الحكمة في هداية المهتدي وإضلال الضال يدخل من يشاء في رحمته فيختصه بعنايته ويوفقه لأسباب السعادة ويهديه لطرقها والظالمين الذين اختاروا الشقاء على الهدى أعد لهم عذابا أليما بظلمهم وعدوانهم تم تفسير سورة الإنسان ولله الحمد والمنة.
Having mentioned the bliss of paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, "Verily, it is we who have sent down the Qur'an to you piecemeal, which contains a promise and a warning, and an explanation of all that people need to know. It contains instructions to comply with Allah's commands and laws in the most perfect manner, to strive to implement them, and to be patient and steadfast in doing so. Hence Allah says, that is, be patient in accepting the decree of Allah without complaining about it, and in accepting His religious rulings, and comply with them, and do not let any obstacle prevent you from doing so, and do not yield to anyone among the stubborn who want to bar you from His path, to any sinner, that is, one who commits sin and does acts of disobedience, or disbeliever, for yielding to the disbelievers, evildoers, and mischief makers will inevitably have to do with sin, for they do not enjoin anything but what they themselves desire. Because patience would help him to worship Allah and remember Him a great deal, Allah enjoined that upon him and said, and remember the name of your Lord morning and afternoon, that is, at the beginning and end of the day, which includes the obligatory prayers and what accompanies them of the supererogatory prayers, as well as dhikr, remembering Allah, glorifying Allah, proclaiming His oneness and magnifying Him at those times. And during the night, prostrate to Him, that is, prostrate to Him a great deal, and that can only be done by offering a lot of prayers, and glorify Him a long part of the night. We have seen above specific mention of the length of time, which is referred to here in general terms. O you who are enwrapped in garments, stand up in prayer throughout the night, except a little. Verily, these disbelievers who reject you, O Messenger, after you explain the revelations to them, and after they receive promises and warnings, yet they did not benefit from that at all. Rather, they continue to give precedence to this present life, and remain content with it. And they pay no heed, that is, they fail to strive and they neglect. A day that will be arduous, namely the day of resurrection, the length of which is 50,000 years, according to your reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, the disbelievers will say, this will be a hard day. So it is as if they were only created for this world, to settle in it. Then Allah gives them rational evidence for the resurrection, which is the evidence of their initial creation. It is we who created them from nothing and made them strong. That is, we made them strong and perfected their creation with sinews, veins, arteries, and visible and hidden strengths until their bodies were perfected and completed, and they were able to do anything they wanted. The one who created them in this manner is able to recreate them after their death in order to requite them, and it is not appropriate that the one who caused them to pass through these stages would leave them unchecked, with no commands or prohibitions, no reward or punishment. Hence, he says, if we so willed, we could replace them completely with others like them. That is, we could resurrect them in a different form or recreate them exactly. Verily, this is a reminder, that is, to remind the believer so that he may benefit from what it contains of warnings and encouragement. So let him who will start his journey towards his Lord, that is, let him follow a path that leads to Him, for Allah explains the truth and guidance. Then He gives people the choice between following the guidance or turning away from it, whilst establishing proof against them. But you cannot will it unless Allah so wills, for Allah's will is always done. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, most wise. He is possessed of great wisdom with regard to those whom He guides and those whom He leaves to astray. He admits whomever He wills to His mercy. So He bestows His care upon him and guides him to the means and paths that lead to bliss. And for the wrongdoers who choose doom over guidance, He has prepared a painful punishment because of their wrongdoing and transgression.
Jazakallahu khairan. Okay, so with this, we have read Ibn Sa'di's tafsir of Surah Al-Insan. And again, to summarize, the surah is divided into three parts. Part number one talks about how humans came into existence, that there was one point in time when there was no mention of humans. Even mention of humans was non-existent. But obviously they just existed in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah's knowledge is timeless, is not bound by time. And this is a reminder for humans that at some point you were not here, but you were brought into existence. What does that mean? There is a purpose. You didn't just happen to be by accident. You were not here, you were not among the creatures that existed at some point in time, but then you were brought into existence. You were created into existence. So that shows, you know, you are part of a project. You are part of an endeavor. You are part of a purpose. So you came here for a purpose. There is a purpose behind your life. So it's not you just happened to exist. It's not. Life was going on. But then, in one of the chapters of life, you were brought into existence. And there is a reason why you were brought into existence at that point. And for a certain period of time. And you will have to fulfill that purpose. And you have to understand your life in the context of this purpose. Then Allah says, Allah brought humans into existence, provided them, provided for them, completed their creation, and then tested them in this life. And He gave them option of the two paths, either the path of guidance or misguidance. Then Allah talks about the disbelievers, that they are going to have chains and punishment. And then Allah extensively talks about the believers and their state and what they are going to be rewarded. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to his mission, that Allah says, we sent upon you, meaning Allah sent upon you the remembrance, the Quran, the guidance. So what did Allah tell him to do? Allah said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Patience. This affair, this purpose for which you were created, this mission you were given, requires patience. And patience today is undermined. There's a lot of emphasis on you enjoying your life. And if you don't meet that expectation, people break down under the weight of their unfulfilled expectations. Life is going to be challenging. And you navigate it with patience. The most important asset or trait that will help you, that will empower you, that will enable you in life to sail through life is patience. And what is patience? In the Arabic language, what do we say? As-sabru murrun. Patience is bitter, is sour. It's not easy. People think patience is romantic. No, the experience of patience is excruciatingly painful. Pushing through it is patience. Putting up with it is patience. Many people have a romantic notion of patience. Patience is extremely difficult. It's holding in and holding on through the difficulties, through the pain, and not falling for it. Keep going despite the pain, the challenges, the disruption, the setbacks. Despite everything, that's what patience is. So it's not romantic. So Allah says, فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. That's the main thing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ that these people actually give preference to this life and they forget about the real life, which is the hereafter. That's their problem. They became attached to this life. They lost sight in their hearts of the hereafter, and thus they're working for this life. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. They leave behind a day that is so heavy, so weighty. You can't mess with that day. So it shows their poor choice. They could be intelligent. They could be intelligent. They could be very educated, very sophisticated. They could actually mesmerize you with their writings and their speech and their intelligence. But what's the point? What is the point? It's the heart that leads to Allah, a pure heart that leads, not intelligence. It's not intelligent. Intelligence is a tool that can help you. But if you don't have a good heart with intelligence, intelligence will work against you. So this is sort of a summary of this, and Allah shows that you have choice. You can choose either the path that leads to Allah or you can choose the path of destruction. But the reason you can choose is because Allah allowed you that. It's not like you independently earned that that you have it, just happen to have it. No, it is actually part of your design. Just like your life is designed, your choice is designed, you are given it, and you will be responsible for it, for how you use it. So this sort of summarizes the surah. We can take one question before we leave. Quick question, if there is any about the surah. I think I saw a hand, Ishaq. Yeah, go ahead. Can you choose your own purpose or is it assigned to you? Both. In a sense, your purpose to worship Allah in this life, to make your life, your path back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, humans in this life are in prison. You're just like someone who's been kidnapped, really, and put in this life by shaitan, the temptation of shaitan. We're in exile here. And we are supposed to make our way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Allah, when Allah says guidance, huda, these are signposts Allah put on the way, on our way, so that we actually find the path to paradise. So that's our purpose. But now, how does this purpose play out in worldly terms? Like, what job do you do? Okay? What kind of activity you get in? Right? So there are some details in your purpose that Allah allows you to choose, and according to what gifts He has given you. Okay? Makes sense? So the purpose is chosen by Allah, is assigned to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are some details about how you go about fulfilling this choice, where obviously you are given. But again, all of that is written by Allah. All of that is written by Allah in His knowledge. Allah knows everything. Okay? So with this, we conclude. Jazakumullah khairan for coming out today, joining us. And inshallah, I'm not sure what time Maghrib will be next week, so we're running short on time. But again, we'll keep it 7:30, even for next Friday, bi'inillah ta'ala. Then during the week, I'll see, inshallah, because Maghrib is drawing nearer. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.